It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to our Bible study segment, and our teacher Beth Seifert is here at the table with today's lesson in Philippians. Beth, what will we learn today?
Well, today we're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to be talking a little bit today about how our past and our present are supposed to impact how we're supposed to view our future. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Now, I really like Paul. I love how he starts this section. Paul doesn't claim to be perfect. He doesn't claim to have obtained all the goals, but he knows what his goal is. He knows his goal and he's working toward it. A very key thing that must happen before we can follow Paul's lead and strive for the same goal, we must forget what is behind. Let me be clear. This doesn't mean that we pretend the past didn't happen. This doesn't mean don't learn from the past and the past mistakes. Our pasts have made us who we are, and we can't escape that. However, living in the past isn't going to help you move forward. Finding your identity in your past instead of as a follower of Christ is not going to free you. Not forgiving others and yourself for past transgressions isn't going to help you move forward to the goal God has set for you. We must come to the point where we can leave our pasts behind as done and with and settled. Dwelling on the ways we have failed and refusing to move forward isn't going to help us achieve that goal. Dwelling on the ways others have hurt us isn't going to help either. But as a wise woman told me as she has gone through a struggle of this sort, forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Forgiveness is a command. Reconciliation requires two people, and it isn't always possible. But Christ supplies what we need to press on to the goal he has set for us. We can't do it alone. He gives us strength, wisdom, clarity, and direction, and we should all see that we need to be focused on Christ and the goals we have from him. That's our goal. Verse 15 reminds us where our goal should be, Christ, and that there will be disagreement. We must continually spend time in the Word so that we are able to discern what the truth is when these disagreements arise. Where we disagree, we must ask God to show us the correct path, and we must be willing to listen. We may be called to reconcile. We may be called to agree to disagree if it isn't a salvation issue. We may be called to forgive and not reconcile, and to separate in order to not be a stumbling block to each other. Listen to where God is leading you. Even Peter and Paul disagreed and they went their separate ways, but they were still united in a common goal, Christ and his gospel. That is where we must be united, not on Allah or Buddha or any other false god. I've seen posts on Facebook and other social media from people who insist that we must unite with our Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist brethren. Ladies, I'm afraid that isn't the truth. We aren't called to be cruel to those people, to shun them or to hate them. Let me be clear on that. However, we are called to show the truth, and the gospel is very clear. There is only one way to heaven. There is only one source of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verses 18 through 19 take me to kind of a hellfire and brimstone kind of place. People live as enemies to the cross. It really is a case of if you aren't with me, you are against me. Remember, the default for the entire human race without Christ is hell. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, we're all going to hell. There is only one hand reaching down to pull us out of that, and that's Jesus. Do you see why Paul says this with tears? He knows where they are headed, and he doesn't want any to perish and go to hell. This kills him. It hurts him that these people are so wrapped up in themselves, in their own desires and wants, and have their mind set so firmly on this life that they can't see anything beyond it. They live for today and have no thought of tomorrow. They are so caught up in the day-to-day struggles and victories that they can't see that they are wearing themselves out to get all the living they can out of this life. And this life is just the prelude to eternity. But they aren't preparing for eternity. They're living for the present, for the moment. Let's spend a little time looking at verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." The way that Paul puts that here really brings it home to me. When our minds are on earthly things, things that perish, spoil, and fade, when our minds are focused on things that are happening here, instead of an eternal, instead of realizing that he is still sovereign and he is in control, even when we don't understand, we're focused on those things that will be destroyed. Their God is in their stomach. People are living to feed whatever their fleshly appetites are. Not just their physical appetites for food, but their appetites for whatever fleshly desire they have. And more in our world, we're telling people that that's okay. You go ahead and fulfill those desires. You do whatever feels right to you. Their glory is in what is shameful. They revel in it. They're excited about it. They can't wait to share it and to show it off, to try to legitimize it and try to make it seem like this is something that's okay. And it's not. Those people are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Really and truly, if you are not for God, you are against him. When our minds are focused on earthly things, when all we care about is fulfilling our appetites, our destiny is clear. Destruction. And there's no sugarcoating that. Destruction means hell. But the good news is there's hope. There is a hand reaching down to pull us out. And it's not a secret. One day we will be in heaven with Christ. Are you waiting eagerly for Christ's return? Or are you anxious and worried about his return? Christ will bring everything under his control. Everything. Remember, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Not only will Christ bring order, he will transform these earthly bodies, these bodies that break and that ache and get sick, and they'll be transformed into glorious bodies. Some days, I admit, that's my most fervent wish. But knowing that this is what we have to look forward to, we should be able to stand firm in the Lord. Knowing that he has your back, he loves you. Knowing that he knows what is in store for you. Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that make you long to be with him? Don't be distracted by the prelude. Work for eternity. Keep your minds on him, not the ways of the world. Allow your mind to be transformed, to be transfigured and changed by the renewing of your minds, and allow your life to be changed by his strength and his truth. We are to be in this world, yet not fully involved in it, because we are aliens here. Our pasts are important. Everything that has happened in our past, God caused to happen for a reason, whether we can see it or not. Our present is important also. We have to deal with the day-to-day living and show his glory through all of that. But all of that, our past and our present, is to show the glory that we know is coming, to show that we have hope in him. We are aliens here. This is not my home. This world is not my home. And every day that gets a little bit more clear. My prayer for us today is that we would see that this world is not our home, that even when things seem so dark, that we know that we are not living for the present and we are not trapped by the past, but that we have an eternal hope that is given to us in the future.
Thank you so much, Beth. And you know, ladies, if you want to go even deeper, you can download the notes that Beth has put together for today's lesson on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will talk more about this lesson when we come back.